Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford with the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal, and you are tuned into Double Coverage, a podcast production of the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. We're going to talk Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports for you here in the next half hour or so, a variety of things going on. I'm actually on the road right now in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Logan is holding down the fort at home. Logan, you get all the twisters and the severe weather threats, and I get the snow. But you know, it's just an interesting time of year. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, Parrish. Got a lot of errands ran today. I know we kind of touched base a few times throughout the day, and today I was just running all kinds of strange errands. You know, this time of year when you have a couple of sports overlapping, there's not a whole lot of days off during the week. So you have to kind of, when you do get a free moment, you have to kind of cram all the different stuff that you have to do, paying bills and going after this and that. And that's kind of what I accomplished today. But we're really far apart this time. I mean, you're usually north of me when we do record this show, but you're really north this week.
Really north, you know, and I'm looking around here, and I'll tell you, you know, sometimes in Tupelo, you can get that northwest wind, and it's pretty cold. But when you get up here to Indianapolis, that northwest wind is really cold, and it's been whipping around at 20 and 25 miles an hour. And you know, there was snow on Wednesday, and it didn't snow quite as much in Indianapolis as they thought it was going to snow Wednesday night. I was a little concerned about getting from the hotel to Lucas Oil Stadium, site of the Combine, which is downtown. And I'm about 7 or 8 minutes outside of downtown, but everything went well, and I was able to get down there covering six players from Ole Miss and six from Mississippi State. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. But making the ride back, Logan, you get these interstate signs that warn you of accidents or things you need to be aware of as a driver, and I've never seen one of those that said caution, blizzard conditions. But I would have driven straight into blizzard conditions if I had continued north and west out of Indianapolis. But thankfully, that level of snowfall did not make it to the city. Hey, folks, before we get into things, I want to remind you about a couple of other podcasts that you need to be looking for. Check out The Memo, our Daily Journal news podcast. Brad Locke and Derek Russell putting it together, doing fine work there. 3 days a week on Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And also check out Prep Rally, Brad Locke and Gene Phelps with everything high school sports. That's every Thursday. Look for those wherever you go to search for your podcast needs. Good stuff there from the Daily Journal. All right, Logan, let's talk a little basketball first, and then we'll come back to the Combine. I'll tell you, Mississippi State, too much water under the bridge, too much damage done. This is not an NCAA tournament team, probably not even an NIT team, but, man, it's not a team that I think anybody wants to play right now. They look like they have really come together here at the end of the season.
Yeah, they're playing a lot better basketball, especially over here in the last couple of weeks. Of course, last week they had the dramatic win over Vanderbilt, the last second 3-point shot by Quindary Weatherspoon that gives them a 1-point victory here at home. And then they go to Tuscaloosa Saturday and pick up a 67-61 win. And what was impressive about that, Parrish, is Mississippi State got the lead about midway through the first half and then never relinquished it the entire rest of the way. I mean, Alabama made some runs, but every time Alabama did make a run, Mississippi State had an answer. And that was really impressive, especially when you consider the fact that Mississippi State did not play with Malik Newman in that game. He was out with back stiffness. Gavin Ware got into, you know, some foul trouble in that one. They were able to play through that. And, you know, just really impressive what they were able to do over there in Tuscaloosa. Weatherspoon had another incredible game there. Craig Swart had a great game. And they were able to pull out a win there. And then they go to Texas A&M on Wednesday night and really battle in that ball game. Looked kind of ugly at some points, but they continue to fight, continue to cut that lead down. And it's a one-possession game. I mean, they ended up losing that game 68-66. Two heartbreaking losses to Texas A&M this season. But both games were decided by 3 points. I mean, the first game here at home back in January, it was actually the first conference game of the year. They lose by 1 point. And then they go to Texas A&M Wednesday night and lose by 2 points. And it's a game where Craig Sword hit a jumper with 24 seconds left to go to tie it up. And Texas A&M drives to the basket. Then Denwell House goes up for a layup, gets fouled on that play, goes to the free throw line and sinks two free throws with 2.5 seconds left to go. And that's the difference in the ball game. And that's really how close Mississippi State is right now. If you look at their conference losses this year, and it's, you know, they're less than 6 points. If you average them all together, it was 5.8. entering the Texas A&M game Wednesday night. Of course, with a 2 point loss there, it's gonna, that average is gonna shrink even worse, even less. So it's probably about 5.6, 5.5 points per game that they've lost those games. So, you know, they're right there in a lot of those games. They just haven't really been able to figure out how to get over the hump in a lot of those games and hang on to win. But, you know, they're playing better. Like I say, Quindary Weatherspoon has really came home over the last couple of weeks. Eric Coleman's playing better. Malik Newman, when he's been able to play, has played, you know, pretty well. You kind of see spurts of that. And, you know, with them having a top five recruiting class coming in next year, I think the future is looking bright for Mississippi State. Their better days of basketball are still ahead of them. But they're putting some things together and getting some things to work on here at the end of this season.
Logan, watching the Bulldogs, the few times I've seen them, Quindary Weatherspoon, to me, has been the most impressive freshman. I know there's been talk throughout about Malik Newman. Would he stay more than 1 year? Sometimes you get a guy like that, and a guy just gets in his head that I'm supposed to be gone after 1 year, or I'm supposed to declare for the draft early. I'm supposed to leave college as an underclassman. And sometimes players will get that in their mind regardless of what kind of season or career they have had, whether or not their production justifies that decision. What do you think about Malik Newman? Does he come back next year?
I really don't know. I mean, you see in the NBA draft, so many guys drafted just off of potential alone. And obviously the potential is there with Malik Newman. I mean, we've seen flashes throughout this season where he looks like an NBA player. I haven't seen as many as I thought we might, you know, just with all the hype that he had coming out of high school. But I really think injuries have been a real big factor in him not producing quite as much as maybe many of us expected him to. You know, the turf toe to start the year, and then, you know, the back injury that he's had over the last couple of weeks. He just really just hasn't, I don't think he's really been 100% this entire season. And, you know, but like I said, he's got a real pretty jump shot. He's very quick. There's also, you know, an awful lot of things to work with. There's an awful lot of things he still needs to work on. I really think, you know, this new NBA draft rule where he can, you know, kind of test the waters a little bit and kind of get some feedback before he makes the final decision. I think that's really going to help a guy like Malik Newman just to kind of test the water, see where he might could potentially go, and then kind of make a decision based off of that. But like I said, there's only, you know, it only takes one team to really like you. And like I said, a lot of those NBA teams draft based on potential. So we'll have to kind of see what happens over the next few weeks. But I agree with you. I think, you know, Quindary Weatherspoon has been the better freshman of the two for Mississippi State this season.
Well, I tell you what, I understand some health issues may be limiting your production, but if you're having health issues getting through a college season, it doesn't seem like it would be the time to make a jump to playing 82 games a year in a season that starts with your preseason work in September or maybe even before and then goes on all the way to June if you're fortunate enough to be on a team that that plays for the NBA championship. That can be a grind. But anyway, a decision to be made after the season for Malik Newman. Ole Miss right now 18-10, 7-7 in the SEC. coming off a 85-76 win over Missouri Tuesday night at the Pavilion at Ole Miss. I was not there for that game. I was already here in Indianapolis. Thanks to Ben Garrett of the Ole Miss Spirit for catching a little Ole Miss basketball this week. You've been able to see his work, folks, in the Daily Journal, and will again as the Rebels get ready to take on Georgia Saturday morning at 11 in Athens. They'll be on the road. Ole Miss right now has won two straight, three of their last four, five of their last seven, but the Rebels have not been able to come up with the big quality resume-building win. They've lost to Florida twice. On February the 9th, they lost at Florida 77-72. Really one of the last big RPI opportunity games they have had was a couple of Saturdays ago, almost 2 weeks ago, February 16, at Texas A&M. Excuse me, that was a midweek game, but they lose that game 71-56. They just haven't been able to build the resume. When you look, you know, they've got wins, you know, at 18-10, and at 7-7, you would think they'd be in position to make an NCAA tournament run, but just the numbers aren't going to add up for Ole Miss. Really, right now, they're number seven in the conference in RPI, but that RPI is just 82. And when you look at the top four teams in the conference, Kentucky, Texas A&M, South Carolina, and Florida, those are the top four right now in terms of RPI. Ole Miss just 1-5 against those teams. They played Florida twice, lost both of those, lost the South Carolina game, lost to A&M and Kentucky. So they're 0-5 against those teams. Their quality win is Alabama, the fifth team in RPI in the conference. Andy Kennedy has not ruled out that this team could make a run beyond winning the whole SEC tournament. He thinks they could position themselves. I just don't think the numbers are going to be there. Right now, Ole Miss needs to win a couple, I think, to position itself for the NIT and just kind of continue that streak of postseason play. The Rebels have been in the NCAA two of the last 3 years, but right now, I think looking like an NIT team, they don't have a big resume opportunity left in the regular season after Georgia on Saturday, and Georgia comes in right now with an 87 RPI at 14-12 overall. The Rebels have games against State and Tennessee remaining. Tennessee at 117 and State at 151, even though they're playing a lot better. So that's Ole Miss basketball. Stephon Moody still playing well, 29 points. His best game since the hamstring injury, 29 points against Missouri. And as the Rebels have gotten some things done of late, we're seeing a lot better shooting from Tomas Gyelo, the 6'9 forward, the fifth-year transfer, the post-grad guy from Liberty, really has kind of come into his own late in the season. Will be an interesting game when those two match up at the Pavilion at Ole Miss. Baseball, Logan, a big series for Ole Miss this weekend, starting Friday. Number two, Louisville, coming to town. A big early test for the Rebels, 4-0 right now. They were able to sweep Florida International on opening weekend. Had to come from behind, but were able to do that in the ninth inning with a walk-off win on Wednesday to turn back Arkansas State to move to 4-0. The big story right now for Ole Miss baseball is Tate Blackman, the second baseman, a top 50 national recruit. A lot of expectations for Blackman last year when he came in as a freshman, and he just was never able to really get going, and ended up hitting about 200. I think he hit 197 on the year, and really just has gotten off to such a fast start right now. Defense is never the problem, but you know hitters play. If you're going to be in the lineup, it's not, you know, there are a few people who are going to earn a spot in a starting nine on a college baseball roster and be there strictly for defense, and defense was not able to keep Blackman in the lineup last year. It was all about offense, and he couldn't get going, but he really changed that in a big way against Florida International and continued that against Arkansas State 2-for-2, and it was his eighth inning RBI single that tied the game and gave the Rebels a chance to win it in the ninth. Blackman goes into the Louisville weekend hitting .667. He started all four games. Right now he is 8-for-12 with a home run and seven RBIs. So really a fast start for Tate Blackman. They're going to need him. They're going to need a lot more offense than they showed against Arkansas State when Louisville takes the field. So what's going on with the Bulldogs opening weekend? I know that probably was a little bit less than they had hoped for.
Yeah, on the starting pitching, as far as that goes, that was probably where they lacked a little bit. Obviously, their relief pitching left a little bit to be desired, too, in their opening game. But Mississippi State offensively played really well, even though they were shut out in one of the games against Florida Atlantic on Saturday. You know, they had 17 hits in two of their games. They had 14 hits in one of the other games. So, you know, their offense was there, and you know, a lot of doubles on the weekend. I think they had 20-something doubles in the four games that they played over the weekend. So, they're getting the job done in that regard, but you ended up 2-2 on the weekend. They swept South Dakota State in a pair of games and lost a pair of games to Florida Atlantic. So, kind of an up and down weekend as far as opening weekends go. I do think that Florida Atlantic team is going to surprise some people. I mean, they, played in the championships of the Gainesville Regional last year and lost 2-1 to a very good Florida team. So, you know, that team was pretty close to making a run last year. And I think they returned 8 starters from a year ago. So a lot of those players are back for the Owls. And, I can kind of keep my eye on them the rest of the year. But, you know, for Mississippi State, you know, the offense was an encouragement. I mean, last year was such a struggle for the Bulldogs at the plate. And, you know, I think the offense has improved and, had some shaky starts on the mound. Dakota Hudson, you know, the preseason All-American, you know, was okay. You know, just really wasn't dominant. You could tell he had some nerves out there on the mound. Max Houston didn't have that great of a start. Austin Sexton, you know, same thing. Daniel Brown, same thing with him. You know, just, you know, a lot of those guys that they're depending on to be their weekend starters just were kind of mediocre, you know, really didn't, give them the dominant outing that they expected out of those guys. But, you know, one guy offensively that I was real impressed with back in the fall and kind of came to fruition on opening weekend too is a junior college transfer named Jack Kruger. He's a catcher by trade. He actually has some arm issues right now, so all he's been able to do is to be the DH. But for the weekend, he went 9-for-16 with 5 doubles, a home run, 9 RBIs, and 8 runs scored. You know, and on top of that off, he had 4 walks on top of that. So the guy was just on base and a lot for Mississippi State. And the guy can just rake at the plate. I mean, he's just really impressive hitter. And I think his bat's going to be well needed in the lineup, you know, whether he's behind the plate or, you know, serving as a designated hitter. But I think he's a guy that can really come through for them. I really like the bat they have with Nathaniel Lowe at first base. And, you know, even Luke Alexander, the guy from our coverage area, Parrish, the guy from Belmont, true freshman, starts a shortstop for Mississippi State. You know, you just don't see that a whole lot in our league. You just don't see that true freshman starting at a key position like shortstop, but there he was. And he homered on opening night, too. So that was pretty cool to see a freshman getting the job done. Like that. So, you know, some ups and downs for Mississippi State to start the season. They had a midweek rain out against Memphis. They're going to make that game up on, I think it's April the 23rd. It's the weekend, it's the Wednesday before Super Bulldog weekend. So that's an important game for Mississippi State. So they're going to try to get that game in later on this season. And then this weekend, they're going to have another round robin type of series. They're having Nicholls State and UMass Lowell come in this weekend. So they'll play 4 more games this weekend. And, you know, hopefully the weather will be better than it has been the last few days, but I've kind of heard mixed reviews on that.
Folks, you're listening to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us. Also, be sure to check out The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell, and Prep Rally with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. Shifting gears a little bit, talking NFL Combine. Logan, when I know that when John Pitts and I started talking about this, about coming up here to cover this event, which is really kind of growing and expanding, the NFL Combine up here, it's almost like the NFL's answer to SEC Media Days. I mean, it's that many people here, and it's drawing that kind of attention. 1,200 credentialed media for this event at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. And, you know, this is where you know, players come by invitation only, and they are put through a series of tests and drills, and, you know, there's the cone drill and the 40-yard dash if you choose to run it, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. And many other things like that, bench press, different weight drills. And, of course, the scouts are here taking numbers and notes and whatnot. And it's really become kind of a made-for-TV event. But we had an eye on this when we realized that that Ole Miss is going to have what looks to be a historic draft with three first-round players. That's assuming that Robert Kimdichie's Atlanta incident does not cause him to slide, which is possible. And tomorrow, on Friday, as we're producing this for you on a Thursday evening, Kimdichie will come and we'll talk to him and see what kind of things he has to say about his draft projections, whether he thinks the Atlanta arrest will hurt him. Some mock drafts have him sliding to the second round, but most of them still have him in the middle to late first round. And, you know, this is a guy who at one time was projected in the top five rounds, the top five picks. You know, so it's a slide like that could cost Robert Kimdichie millions. But, you know, we thought about these Ole Miss guys and the first round guys when we discussed covering the combine, but this has become a big event, Logan. There are 12 players here from Mississippi State and Ole Miss. It's a big number, you know, six from each school. There's been a lot of running around trying to catch all these guys. And one of the things I've learned at the combine is that players from the same school hang out together. Big surprise there, you know. So they come to this interview room in waves. So I hear Laquan Treadwell's name called for the podium, and I run over there and get set up, and then I hear that Ole Miss wide receiver Cody Corr is going to be off to the side at one of the smaller tables that attracts fewer people. So I missed Cody Corr, did not get to speak to him today. Then I hear Dak Prescott's name called for a podium, and I hear that Darunya Wilson is going to be at a table. And I almost missed Darunya, but I was able to catch up with him for about 2 minutes as he was walking from the interview room off to another meeting. So it causes you to scramble a little bit if you're one guy trying to catch everybody. Maybe that's an unrealistic goal, but that's what we're trying to do. Anyway, we talked about Kimdichie a little bit. We'll hear from him in the media room on Friday. Laquan Treadwell has made news at the Combine this week by announcing that he would not run the 40-yard dash. It is optional, but it doesn't resonate well with NFL executives. They'd really like to see all of these guys go through all the drills. And I talked a little bit with Ryan Grigson, the general manager for the Colts. He was in the interview room, and I asked him the question, what do you think about, as an NFL executive, what do you think when a guy says, I'm not going to perform this drill? And his response was, well, you know, it could work against a guy. It could create a preconceived idea for different NFL clubs. That just kind of varies from team to team. Sometimes players will have very valid reasons for not wanting to perform a certain drill. And, you know, obviously these guys are trying to do what is in their best interest. And that's what Treadwell told us today as he spoke from one of the podiums in the interview room. And the story with him right now is he's changing his training facility, going from one to another. And in this changeover, he's kind of gotten behind a little bit in his training. he says, and he doesn't feel like he is ready to run his best time. He'll run the 40-yard dash before NFL scouts on a little bit more friendly turf, I guess, when Ole Miss has its pro day on March the 11th. So that was Treadwell's story today. Dak Prescott came through, Logan, and I guess the biggest question for Dak was how do you feel, Dak, about not being discussed in the upper echelon of draft available quarterbacks? I mean, you're talking about Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. You're talking about Jared Goff from California. You're hearing a lot about these guys, Paxton Lynch from Memphis. Those are the only three who have draft grades of higher than 6.0 at NFL.com. So there's kind of a buzz around those guys. And then there's a second tier of quarterbacks. That was one of the questions posed to Dak Prescott today. And his response was, and I know this is going to surprise you, Logan, it was, I don't care. You know, his response was, that's for you guys in the media. And I know as a member of the media, you've heard that "you guys" before. You know, lots mm-hmm. of people like to throw that out. You guys in the media, like it's another species or something. You guys, for you guys in the media to talk about. And it is, because you guys who read and listen to podcasts like to hear about those things. So we ask those questions. But that conversation does not bother Dak Prescott at all. And the common theme in his interview time today was he wants to get better under center. He knows there are some things he needs to improve on. Taking a snap from directly under center is something he was not asked to do in high school or college, certainly with any degree of regularity. And this is new. And depending on what team drafts him, you know, it could be something that he's called on to do on almost every play. So he wants to get better there. He believes his athleticism will help him make an easy transition to under center. But the other thing is, you know, he just wants to get in a camp. He doesn't care about the conversation. He wants to get drafted. He'll be glad to be drafted by anyone. He wants to get in a camp and have the opportunity to prove his worth to whatever team drafts him. So combine still ongoing. We'll hear from Kim Dichie on Friday. We'll hear from Chris Jones on Friday. And the interview days kind of wrap up on Saturday. Logan, that's the last day. And the only local players left at that point that will be coming through for the first time will be two Bulldogs, cornerbacks, Tevez Calhoun and Will Redmond. So we'll talk to those guys then.
Yeah, Boniquez Brown should also be coming through at
That's
some
right.
point.
Yeah, well, he'll be with the linebackers tomorrow. Boniquez Brown will be part of the Friday group, and so will C.J. Johnson from Ole Miss. Those guys will be there as well. So it's been a scramble to keep up with everybody, but you know, there's a lot of coverage, folks, at DJournal.com and in the Daily Journal each morning, so much so that John Pitts today said you might want to put the brakes, slow down on that third element. It's kind of a tight section. So, yeah, between the online and the paper, Logan, I calculated about 2,500 words today about across, I think, five or six stories. So a lot of work getting done, and it's been good and fun to see these guys you know, take on this this transition and get ready for the next phase of their football career. So they're excited to be here. This is a big opportunity for those who have received invitations. And, you know, they're really excited to be here. Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. I'm Parrish Alford. Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State writer, has been here as well. And we remind you to check out the memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell for all your news needs in Northeast Mississippi, and also Prep Rally, all things high school sports with Brad Locke and Gene Phelps. Look for those where you go to look for your listening material. Thanks for being with us, folks. Come back and join us next week.